Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. So we pray for Jill as she reads it to us, and we pray for Andrew, Lord, that you'd anoint him to preach the good news in a moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading tonight is taken from James 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Well, good evening. It's great to be here again. I know we've been doing this, James, for a few weeks now, and I was preaching on one of the passages a few weeks ago. So it's great to be able to move on. And I'm going to start with a similar question to James had. I'm going to ask you, who was your favourite teacher when you was in school? Or maybe college? Or maybe university? Who was your favourite teacher and why? 10 seconds, maybe tell the person next to you who your favourite teacher was. I could see lots of conversations already, which is good. I hope you did have a favourite teacher. I did. The teachers who I liked the best were the teachers who engaged me, were interesting, but who also didn't tell me off for being a chatterbox. Because I was a bit of a chatterbox when I was in school, and I always used to get told off for being the chatterbox in the background, in the kind of corner of the room. I never stopped talking. And James starts off by talking about teachers and the powerful effect that they can have on the people that they have in front of them. And we can see why. Because a good teacher can have a positive impact on the child or the young person they have. But a bad teacher, a teacher that's not acting in the right way, can have a detrimental effect. Hopefully you had a good education, you had a good bringing up, and you didn't get impacted badly by your teachers. But James starts off, and he starts talking about the importance of the tongue. And for teachers in particular, he says, teachers need to be able to speak properly because they're going to be judged. And we understand why. As the church is developing, it needed teachers who are going to speak the word of God and not the false teachers. And we can see in the New Testament, as the early church was developing, there were people who were saying things that were contrary to what the gospel of Christ was all about. And so in this letter, James shares with us some illustrations of how we can look after and control the tongue. And he splits it into three little bits in this passage. And I'm going to talk about three of them before thinking then about a little bit of application for us. And so the first thing he says is size. In verse 2 to 6, he gives us two pictures, the ship and the horse. And he wants us to think about how even though the tongue is small, it has a powerful impact. It may be physically small, but yet it can have a huge impact on the lives of individuals. And so we have a ship, he says, that is steered by a small rudder, or a horse which has got the bit in its mouth and can be controlled by the rider. And I'm always amazed when I see these huge ocean liners, and then you realize that they are just guided around by a tiny little rudder. I was reminded by somebody this morning after the service and said, when you said that, I thought about that Suez Canal where that ship Ever Given had to go down the narrow pathway and the bit of wind moved it and they couldn't control and it blocked the whole kind of Suez Canal for days at a time. Huge ships controlled by a small rudder. Or the horse. I'm always amazed when I watch things like the Grand National at how a jockey can get these big, powerful animals over all those fences, because they always scared me whenever I went anywhere near big horses. So James is pointing out straight away that something small can be powerful, and it's able to direct something which is bigger. And he's also raising the question, how can we do the same? What do we have in our own lives that is going to help us to control the tongue? And then he moves on to the second little picture and illustration in this passage. It only takes a spark. Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, the ESV Bible translation doesn't use the word corrupt, it uses the word staining. And for me, when I think about corrupt or staining, it's something which goes across the whole. It's not just a little thing. And James, again, is highlighting the impact that something small can have. And I'm sure you've seen pictures on the news of forest fires that have spread out of control. Fires that have engulfed huge forests that are pushed around by the wind. And then when they finally died out, you see the wreckage. Whole forests burnt to pieces. Towns that have been destroyed. Houses, cars, and whole people's lives. All because of a spark that might have set it off. One small mistake, and the spark sets a fire that destroys. Perhaps for us, it's things like little white lies. You're not quite sure about saying something, so you tell a little white lie, and it's okay because it's a little white lie. Or maybe it's a slip of the tongue. Just came out, and does it really matter? Or, well, I only told them the truth, and they needed to hear it. What's the fuss? It's not my fault they reacted like that. When I was thinking about that, I was reminded of Sheldon in The Big Bang Theory. Have you seen that TV show? It's one of my favourites. Sheldon's the character who always says it as it is, and he doesn't care if he upsets people. Regardless of who he's speaking to, somebody important or not, he'll just say it as it is. He has no moral compass, and his words often affected people in the negative. So are we like that? Do we try and justify when we've said things? It's just not that important. It won't really matter. It's a little gossiping that we do. The little things that we tell other people. The problem is those other little things get told to somebody else. And then they spread and they get told to somebody else and they spread some more. And then something that really should have been kept to yourself goes through the whole workplace or the whole community. Or maybe it's just the put-downs or the sly remarks that we make, those sarcastic comments, those barbed little comments that we make. How many times do you or I say things which have a massive impact on somebody else? Just like the spark in the fire, it sets a flame that spreads. And it can become corruptive as well. I remember preaching a few weeks ago in James chapter 1. And if you remember James chapter 1, he talks about quick to listen and slow to speak. We need to be slow to speak because our voice can be really damaging. What comes out can be dangerous. And he also says in verse 8, the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. He's not mincing his words here, is he? He's really making the point. The tongue, like a poison, can affect the body, either the individual or the community. That's the second point. And the third thing he then talks about is incompatibility. Some things just can't work together. They're incompatible. He says, with our mouths we both bless and we curse. And he uses the illustration of water from a spring. You don't get fresh water and salty water from the same spring. The two are just incompatible. One is good and one isn't, but you don't get the two together. Or he says, what about the fig tree bearing olives? Now, I'm not sure I've seen many fig trees around these parts, but I've seen orchards with apples on it. It'd be pretty strange if I walked past and saw bananas dangling down. You can see the point he's making. Things just sometimes aren't compatible. Something that is meant for good shouldn't be used for evil. We were made perfect by God, but sin has damaged us, and we are not yielding what we are meant to yield. And so those illustrations give us a picture about what the tongue is like. And I'm sure if I was to give you 5 or 10 or 15 or an hour, you'd be able to sit and think of all the times where you know that you've used your tongue, your mouth, in the wrong way. And I'm sure you'd be able to work out the damage that you've caused, because we've all done it. Now, what I was thinking about when I was doing this is, I thought, when I was a teacher in school, every now and again, we'd have a problem with our young people. Because they can't help it, just like adults. They're going to use their mouths and tongues in a way, and they're going to say things. And every now and again, we'd have to have an assembly where we'd have to talk about this. And often, we would use this illustration. Think about your mouth as a tube of toothpaste. And what comes out is the words. Now, this morning, I used a white plate, and I got told afterwards, you can't really see the toothpaste. Sometimes what comes out of your mouth is good, but often it's not. And the thing about your words, once they're out, you can't put them back in easily. When I used to do an assembly, we'd often say to the students, right, you've got 5 minutes to try and put as much back in the tube as you can. Try doing it. It is not easy. And that's just what our words are like. That's what James is saying to us. Our words are like, you just can't do it. Once it's out, once the bad stuff's out, that's it. That's what our tongue is like. That's what James is saying. So then, of course, how can we try to make sure that what we are saying is in the right way? How are we going to use our tongue correctly? And we use the word try because James tells us in verse 7 and 8, it's easier to tame a wild animal than it is the tongue. The tongue just cannot be tamed easily. So how can we do that? Well, the author and pastor, James White, says that there are some filters that we need to put on our mouth. And if we use these filters, then hopefully what comes past those filters will be good. And so the first filter, is what I'm going to say true? Is what you and I are going to say true? Because if you're not sure, if you're not sure what you're going to say is true, if you don't know that it's right, then really we shouldn't be saying it. Because that's how rumors spread. Rumors that could be seen to be truth and can damage and hurt. And we've all seen it on the TV and the news where somebody said something and it spread and all of a sudden it goes awash across the internet and we're reading stories about somebody doing something and they say it didn't happen. But do you believe them? Because it spread. If it's not true, we shouldn't be saying it. And if we're not sure, we shouldn't be saying it. That's the first filter. And the second one then is what I'm going to say helpful? Because sometimes if something is true and it passes our first filter on our mouths, it doesn't mean it's always helpful. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the type of people that actually, they often say things that were true, but it didn't really help me much. The negative people that you meet. I hope you're not one of them. Although we all probably are negative at some point in our lives. The words they say, how they say them, the tone of voice, when they say them to you, they can all impact us. And if it's not at the right time, and if it's not very helpful at that point, if it's always a moan or a negative, then it makes us feel bad. It can affect us and it can affect other people. It doesn't build you up. It just simply knocks you down. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't tell people the hard truths. Sometimes we need to say things that are truthful to people, and we know it might be hard when we tell them that, because we need to tell them things that are going to help them to grow. But we need to make sure we're doing it at the right time and doing it in the right way. And some other filters will come into play in a minute. Now, of course, and I could be flippant a little bit about this, but there are times when you are going to be in a no-win situation. And one of the ones that springs to mind is that most dangerous question you could ever ask somebody. Do I look good in this? I remember being asked that question by my wife many times. I never worked out what the right answer was. But I remember asking my wife many times, you know, does this fit me when you're in a shop? And she tends to be quite blunt. I've had to rely on my two boys to be able to tell me whether or not something is good or not. I'm being a bit flippant, but you know what I mean. The right time speaking to somebody, how do you respond? And then the third filter is what you are saying being said to the right person? Because it's really easy, isn't it, that we have to speak to somebody or tell somebody something. Maybe something difficult. I've been through that many times in work when I've line managed people or had difficult conversations with parents after school. And you end up needing to speak to somebody about it before you go and speak to them. But often we end up speaking to two people, then three people, then four people, then five, and it goes on. And actually, the person we need to speak to, we haven't spoken to. And they find out on the grapevine that you're not happy about something. And it causes more problems. We've all done it. We've all made things worse by not speaking directly to the person. So that's the next filter. Are we saying things to the right person? And then the fourth filter, perhaps, is maybe the most important of these. Is what you are going to say loving? Jesus said we should love one another. We should think about how we speak and how we say things to people and about people. Let's be honest, Jesus dealt with a lot of people, a real range of people, from prostitutes to tax collectors to people like the Pharisees who thought they knew it all about God. But he was loving to each of them. It didn't matter who he was dealing with. His words were loving. His actions were loving. Are we gracious in our speech? Are we humble in our speech? Are we building people up or are we simply knocking them down? Are you negative when you should be being positive about people? Jesus would say we need to think about people in a loving way. And so those four filters can help us, hopefully, to filter what is coming out of our mouths. So let's just conclude. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, how we can say things, how we've brought up, whether we're a Christian or not. And what James is saying is relevant to whether you are a Christian giving your life to Christ or not. Because this is about good living. And James is saying that the tongue is small, yes, but it's powerful. Like the rudder on a ship, or the bit in a horse's mouth, or the spark that can spread. It's powerful. It can do great things or it can do bad things because it can spread and it can damage and it can't easily be tamed. So you and I need to work really hard to filter what we are going to say. Is what I'm going to say true? Is what I'm going to say helpful? Am I saying it to the right person? Is what I'm going to say loving? And there is perhaps a fifth filter that we could apply when we're thinking about what to say. And the New Living Translation puts Proverbs 10:19 like this. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. It's to the point. And maybe that's the thing. At times we say things when we shouldn't. We should just be quiet and listen a little bit more. And so as we come to the end of this kind of talk and thinking about the tongue, I want to just get you to think a little bit about how can you then use those filters? Can you do it by yourself? Or do you need somebody else to help you? I do remember when I first started preaching that I had one or two really bad habits, and my wife afterwards would often give me that helpful criticism and feedback and said, I had one or two slangy words that I used to use. I have a bad feeling I'm still using them. And I said to her one day, well, why don't you tell me every time I use those words? That was an interesting Sunday, because I use them all the time. But it did help me. But it's not just other people. Perhaps what we also need is God. We need God to help us to have to change how we speak. And I can't think of a better helper than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who was promised to us by Jesus and then came to us at Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit within us can change how we are and change how we speak. And so just as we come to the end of this, let's just maybe just pause, maybe just close our eyes for a minute. And let's just pray. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to be with us now. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit, I ask your Spirit to be upon us. I ask your Spirit to help us to be able to speak in the right way. I ask your Spirit to help us to filter out the words that come out, that they will be for good, that will help to build people and not knock them down. And Lord, as we move into communion in a moment, we just pray that as we take the gifts of bread and wine, we can reflect on what the message of James is all about for us, for the here and now, as we then move out later on out of this building and into our homes and then our work and our different things that we do the next few days. So come, Spirit, come. Help change our mouths and our tongue so that they are words that are loving. Amen.